As we finished last year and thought about being wise, I was doing some readings in Proverbs. I thought we might like a little wander through Proverbs for 4 weeks. So I want to spend this week on our words. I've called him Mr. Talkative, the man who speaks. I'm reminded of that wonderful quote, better to keep one's mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. I read in the paper on Saturday, like it or not, we are judged the moment we open our mouths. Now, Proverbs is designed to help us to become wise, or at least to show us what a wise person is like. And one way to tell whether a person is wise or not is to look at their speech. On average, I'm told, we speak over 150,000 words a day. Indeed, the book of Proverbs loves words. 1/6 of the whole book addresses our speech. I'm going to ask you to come with me through the text. So let's start, first of all, at 12:23. Some of these Proverbs are just pithy little one-line sayings or two-line sayings. Some fit into a context and flow, like the passage we read. But look at 12:23. Let's start there. 12:23 on page 597. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim folly. Or as Jesus, Mr. Wisdom himself, put it, out of the abundance of his heart the mouth speaks. You see, words are God's way of speaking, of talking, of telling us. He could have used pictures to explain things to us. He could have sent us videos. But he's chosen words. Our God is a speaking God. So all words have enormous value, great value. But how well do we use them? And more than that, whatever we say will reveal our heart. So Mr. Talkative must watch what he says. If he's wise, he will listen much and speak little. What he says will be thoughtful and helpful. So I want to suggest that from Proverbs we learn from Mr. Talkative this morning. Wisdom, remember, is the true fear of God. It involves a right understanding as well as right actions. A right understanding of God, that is, of our world and of ourselves. And it leads us to a right way of living in this world. The unwise person is regarded in Proverbs as the fool. The unwise person believes he is okay or she is okay as they are. Mr. Talkative particularly uses his speech badly. The aim of Proverbs is to make us wise. Come on to chapter 20 and look at verse 19. 20:19. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Or as the NIV puts it, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. Do not associate with a simple babbler. Three areas to look at. First of all, the power of our words. Think with me of the power of our words. Words are powerful. They're powerful in a number of ways. They're powerful, first of all, because they affect others. As Chris said, when we speak, the words come out of our mouth and we can't take them back. They've gone. They're out there. They've been said. So words build others up as well as tear people down. Let's move on to 18:21. As you work with me through the text. 18:21. Look at the effect of our words here on others. 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Look at that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. The power of the tongue has death and life. The truly wise person knows how to speak well, to restrain what they say. Come back to 10:19 for a moment. Back to 10:19. Look at 10:19. Whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Whoever restrains his lips, the second half, is prudent. Or over at 13:3, he who guards his lips preserves his life, but he who opens his lips wide comes to ruin. 13:3. Some people of a nervous disposition are troubled by issues of life, and often troubled by what others are going to say to them. But look how you can cheer somebody up with a kind word. Look at 12:25, for example. 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Or a proverb that I've often used and find very helpful, 15:1. When someone gets angry with you, 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So when somebody is angry, don't answer back with anger. Don't speak harshly. Instead, try and speak kindly. Calm the situation down. You can still be firm, but say it with a smile. Say it in love. If you blurt out what first comes into your mind, you do enormous damage. Look at 12:18, for example. 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Very helpful, isn't it? If you fail to tell the truth, you may be in danger of using flattery, and damage is again done. So you have this at 26:28, for example. 26:28. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Think of the effect your words have on others. Or as we might say, don't press the send button too quickly. Here's Proverbs 11:9. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbour, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. Or look with me at 27:14, if you're still there. 27:14. I rather like this one. This is a rather humorous one. Whoever blesses his neighbour with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. Isn't that lovely? Don't shout too early in the morning and too loudly. I wish I could tell my grandchildren that. Whoever blesses his neighbour with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. Marvellous, isn't it, that? Words affect others. Words affect ourselves. Words affect other people, but they also affect us. Words spoken out of turn or out of anger or unkindly don't only harm or help the other person, but they harm you, the speaker. Look at this pair, for example, in 18:6 and 7. 18:6 and 7, put together, I think, these two. 18:6 and 7. Fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. In other words, badly chosen words get us into trouble, as many a public speaker or writer knows only too well. And the root cause of bad words is a bad heart. To guard your speech means that you're guarding your heart. To guard your speech means that you're guarding your heart. See, and the reason why our words get us into trouble actually has little to do with the tongue. It's because we do not properly fear God, according to Proverbs. We haven't got our heart right. Here's a little proverb, chapter 4 and verse 23. I'll have it on the screen in a moment in the NIV. But the ESV puts it like this. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Here it is in the NIV. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. In other words, we always come off badly when we're careless with our words, when we let our sinful heart rule over our lips. So work on the principle, engage mind before engaging mouth, and you'll find it extremely helpful. You'll probably not say a word. Words affect others. Words affect us, others, and God. They not only affect the people we're speaking to, they not only affect ourselves, but God. See, the worst thing that can happen is not towards your neighbour, or even towards yourself. The worst thing that can happen is something towards God. Look at chapter 6 for a moment, and 16. This is worth a dip into. So it's an interesting way of writing 6:16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. There's a particular style of writing here. Six things the Lord hates, seven are an abomination to him. Here they are: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Now saying six or seven is a way of saying this isn't an exhaustive list. Here is a list. Here are some of the things that are in the list. It's a selection of the things that the Lord hates. There are six things that the Lord hates, or seven if you like, and abomination to him are these things. And of those seven, look how many concern speech. See? The lying tongue, the false witness, the one who sows discord among brothers. You see? We almost catch the superior look and the shifty talk of those people, don't we? But they not only affect what we see, they affect God himself. Because he hates false speech. It's like telling a lie. Or take Proverbs 22 and 11, which I think is very helpful. 22:11. 22:11. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. The eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the traitor. You see? Even the king will like somebody who speaks well. How much more will God? The eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the traitor. Words are powerful, extremely powerful. In fact, while we were praying, I wish I'd have written this into my notes. To show how powerful words are, think of the way God uses words. He speaks and creation comes into being. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else has that power. But still our words are powerful. They're not as powerful as God's, but still they have that power. At the same time as being powerful, our words are often weak because they reveal our character. So think with me of the weaknesses that words have. Words do have weaknesses. Are we a gossip? Then our words spread trouble. A gossip passes on what is not fitting, even if it might be true. Gossiping becomes a contagious disease, so the wise person avoids it. Look at 26:20, which was part of our reading. 26:20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarrelling cease. The NIV translates the word whisperer as a gossip. Look at this. Without wood, a fire goes out, and without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. So speech can be damaging, as we know. It can spread trouble. Where does it come from? It comes from this false heart, this evil heart. Look at 17:4, for example, to show this. 17:4. An evil doer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. The most spicy gossip has power over the listener, and especially if he's wicked, his love is his talk, and it's greater for him than love for truth. In the end, his words betray him, because his heart is false. 16:23. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious, you see, and adds persuasiveness to his lips. NIV again, the hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction. So perhaps we need to be careful. We need to follow decent advice. 17:28 might be the good advice to follow. 17:28. Here's the fool again. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. Wonderful, isn't it? So since words can bring harm to others and to ourselves, we need to use our words to bring health and life. How do we retrain our speech to be more wholesome? This must be a human problem, isn't it? Human issue. How do we do that? And the answer is we have to watch our words. We must watch our words. Here are just a few thoughts to help us on that. We must use words lovingly and kindly. You see, crafted well, speech can be persuasive. If you don't believe me, just to make you shudder, listen to the speeches of Hitler, even if you don't understand German. He could persuade a nation. Listen to Churchill, if you want someone on the other side, as it were. Crafted well, our speech can be persuasive. I just take a proverb to show that, 25:15. 25:15. With patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. Isn't that lovely? A soft tongue will break a bone. There is great power in words used well. Or I love this one at 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. So use words carefully and lovingly. Wise people always listen before speaking. That's the next point. Wise people always listen before speaking. Here's 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears it, it is to his folly and shame. Wise people listen before speaking. The wise person will exercise, therefore, self-control. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble, says Proverbs 21. He'll know how to control what he says. He'll know how to speak appropriately in what he says or she says. I rather like this one at 25:11. Do you know this proverb? Some of these are memorable, more so than others. 25:11, I rather like it. Just because I like apples, actually. Not because I like gold. Look at this, 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Isn't that lovely? Great image, that, isn't it? Words fitly spoken, aptly spoken, like apples of gold set in silver. So well-chosen words can do good. They can transform. They can give enormous pleasure. They can bring huge benefit. We are told that we should build up one another through our speech. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, says Proverbs 13, so that one can turn away from the snares of death. There's a chapter at the end of Proverbs about the godly wife. You might like to turn here, but I've got one from there. This is a chapter that does flow, as it were, of this extremely idyllic godly wife. Some people don't think she's realistic because she's so godly. I think my wife comes pretty close to this. But 31, about the wife, 26, talks about the godly wife, the excellent wife, the this brilliant woman. 26 of 31, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Isn't that lovely? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So our speech is to be used well. And particularly it's to be used to win over people to Jesus Christ. I think that's one of the benefits of God being a speaking God and us being speaking people. We are to influence people with our words, and we're to influence them for Christ. Take 11:30 as a proverb to look at. 11:30. 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls or wins souls is wise. Isn't that a wonderful proverb? Whoever captures souls or wins souls is wise. And there's a wonderful gem at 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So we're to use our words carefully, lovingly, thinking before we do so, showing self-control, speaking appropriately, and building others up to win them for Christ. Now, it is by no means an accident, as far as I can tell, that Jesus is designated as the Word. Because our God is a talker. If God did not talk, we would have to guess what he was like. We would have to try and work out what his actions meant. We would never be sure. However, in his goodness, God comes to us speaking. He explains himself. He explains what he does, why he does it, what its purpose is. He's out to make us understand and to make us wise. Just an example. When Jesus comes in the flesh, he performs miracles. What's he doing? Well, he is healing, or whatever the miracle is, overcoming some difficulty, but he's also showing us who he is. And as he heads towards the cross, he starts to explain what he's going to do. In fact, most of the explanation of the cross are in the letters, Romans and Ephesians and Galatians and so on. But there is one word, one key word that's used in Mark 10. He says he's going to give his life as a ransom for many. The one word ransom tells you everything you need to know, almost everything you need to know about the cross. Ransom is the buyback word. Ransom is used at the price to set a slave free. A ransom price is set. Just that one word. He gave his life as a ransom for many. Now, if Jesus had not said that, we would be guessing what he's doing on the cross and why he's there. And more than likely, we would be wrong. Oh, poor Jesus, suffering because he didn't deserve it. Oh, there's Jesus on the cross. It must be the example that we must follow. No, unless we understood ransom, we wouldn't understand the cross. We would never know if our views were right. So don't we thank God that he's a talker? He talks about the very essentials of life and the universe. He talks about himself, about what he's like. He talks about us and what we're like. He talks about his actions on the cross, which is the only way we can be rescued and restored and made wise. See, God says it's by grace that we are saved. It's not through our actions or our words, but through his. His words are powerful and revealing. His words are always true and transforming. So we're reborn, says Peter, by the very word of God. We listen carefully to what God says. We read our scriptures with great care. And we respond in our prayers, with our words, carefully with our speech. Let's pray this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for all your words that we've considered this morning. Sometimes these little proverbs have brought us up short and we've seen our own folly. Sometimes they've amused us and caught us off guard. But we want their truth to sink deep into our souls, so that we're not so much shaped by everything we see around us and hear, but by the gospel, by the truth we find in Scripture. As we talk with one another over coffee later, may we be encouragers. Help us to build each other up. And as we talk with you in prayer, please be gracious to us and speak your truth into our hearts, helping us to turn from our sin and selfishness and turn towards Christ. Please, Lord, by your Spirit, continue to make our tongues and heart more like Jesus, we ask. For we pray in his name. Amen. Would you like to say with me a proverb, which I think is a rather nice little prayer before we sing our next songs? Come to 19:14. Well, it might be on the screen, actually. 19:14.